has some pictures that are kind of a update on some of the report that he's given. And I'm going to ask him to set that up. And then when that's done, if you just come and preach the word to us.
Excellent. All right, we've got kind of a Freeway 09 update via some pictures that we've got lined up. And they're going to be up there really soon. There we are. And our update starts almost 2 years ago. And we're going to start in Austin, Texas. And in Austin, Texas, we were able to help with that church. Go ahead and flip to the next slide. There we go. Austin, Texas, we were able to help the church there in Austin with a new sound system. And that included everything, a new booth, new screens, and everything like that. And this is a great church that gives over $300,000 a year to missions. And it was our privilege to be involved in this project and assisting the Capital City Baptist Church of Austin, Texas, with doing a lot of work down there. And what a blessing it is to see what the Lord is doing there in Austin, Texas. And then we went to, how many of you guys remember Matt and Annetta Johnson here last year? That's my wife's brother and his lovely wife, and they're doing a great job. And we were privileged last January, not last January, 2008 January, to go to Tula Hidalgo, Mexico, and put a new sound and video system in for them. And I'm telling you, he's doing it right down there. He's doing an excellent job, and he's putting the gospel in a good light. Sometimes missionaries tend to be sloppy. Sometimes missionaries are like, I'm in the mission field, and they dress sloppy, they look sloppy, they do a sloppy job. Not so with Matt Johnson. Matt Johnson puts his best foot forward for the sake of the gospel, whether he's on this side of the border or that. And you can kind of see those pews in the back. That's an interesting story. Those pews are from my home church in Clyde, Ohio. And we remodeled, and Matt came up, and we gave him our pews, and they trucked them all the way to Tula Hidalgo, Mexico. And that was cheaper than them buying them in country, believe it or not. And those pews are in three different churches, and they're beautiful. They take care of them. I'm talking every single Saturday, somebody comes in with a vacuum cleaner and vacuums those pews, and they polish the wood, and they take care of God's house there. But what a privilege it was to have part in making the gospel heard there in Tula Hidalgo with that sound system. And then we started the process in 2008 for the Philippine radio station. And that was a long, extensive project. There you see the studio that was in my living room set up and tested. And then all the men of our church are praying for that studio during one special service we had. And that radio studio headed for the Philippines. There we are with Brother Jones. That's in Manila. And take some time. Brother Jones has been a missionary there in Catarman, way far away from everybody, for 23 years. And doing a great job there. And he's a soul winner. His church is an on-fire church. He's got a small Bible institute. And even despite all his faithfulness over all these years, somehow the church is continuing to grow. And what I'm saying is, he's been faithful doing it right, but since he added the radio station, his church has almost doubled in size. And he's had great response from the Filipino people there with that radio station in Northern Samar. You can see the church building. It's a three-story church building, and the top story is the radio station. And there's Paul Williams with me, and then, of course, Brother Jones there. And we went over the first time and did quite a bit of work. And then this was a two-stage trip. And keep this rolling here. There we go. That was the cue. And there I am doing some soldering with Brother Jusiel in the radio studios. And we were privileged. This is about the time that Brother Eric Dameron, who he'll be here in December. And he's our representative for Independent Baptist Media. He's my cohort partner in crime. And I went to Bible college with Eric, and he has been a blessing. He came over on this second trip to Philippines and went right up that tower. And he did a great job. That was a homemade tower. And believe me, it was something else. When he got to the top of that tower, it was pretty incredible. And the second trip also, we had our family come. And Eric brought his wife, Tisa, and I brought Bonita and little Lacey. She turned one in the Philippines last year. And this is what my wife did the whole time. She took that picture. Those are her feet. Actually, those are my feet. But and then we came back from there. We did some work in Findlay, Ohio, at the Cornerstone Baptist Church. Did some video confidence monitors. and things like that for Pastor Walt Shepherd. Incredible church, 5 years old, and that's their brand new building they built. And I believe they're debt-free as well. I mean, just an incredible church. God is really using Pastor Walt Shepherd in Findlay, Ohio. And thank the Lord for the opportunity to be a part of that ministry. Went to Fiji in 2008 and did a survey there with another missionary, Brother Corey Mears, who wants to put 3 radio stations in Fiji. That was a blessing to be able to get that process rolling. We were in San Diego, did a bunch of updates to their sound system, and spent some time getting that finished up. And then that's Las Vegas. Look at that wiring. Isn't that beautiful? That's what we were called in to kind of troubleshoot and help out with. And the sound man was mad at me when we fixed that. He's like, well, what did you do that for? So, but anyways, we got that mess straightened out. And but we found a lift that was brave enough to take me all the way to the top of the ceiling. And this is Pastor Tice's church in Las Vegas, Nevada. And we did several trips to Las Vegas last year. And we started off with the sound system. And then we tweaked that, did some modifications to that, put some additional speakers in. And then we came back and they wanted to get their services videotaped and be able to put them to CD, DVD, and the internet. And so we came and put in some remote control cameras, and there's one of the cameras pictured there. And there's a part of the control center for the video. And we also, in addition to the audio, in addition to the video, we put a small internet radio station in. And there's Pastor Tice doing a radio recording for their internet radio station. And there's Brother Paul Williams and myself kind of with the whole setup in the background there in Las Vegas. Oh, and then we popped over from Las Vegas here for the 50th anniversary, and we had a small part last year in helping with the DVD. That was one of the things we did last year. And then we began to prepare, this is the start of 2009 now, for an exciting project we've been praying for a long time, and we made reference to the fact of the Rwanda station in the DVD you saw earlier in the week. But this is all the equipment for the radio station, and that's my living room. And we're holding the antenna. And I'm holding you hostage now with a microphone pointed at you. And but we then had to build the boxes. These are 3/4-inch plywood doubled on the corners and things like that. And we built those boxes. They weighed over 200 pounds apiece, empty. And so we had to kind of back them up with the old John Deere on some homemade skids from my workshop to the garage. Mom's garage has been a blessing to me. She has to park outside. And then I threw Eric inside for a little bit. And we began to pack. And packed and packed and packed. And it was a lot of work getting everything in there correctly. It was only $6,000, though, to have those air freighted to Rwanda. That was cheaper than like any other way. And it got there in 10 days. That was a blessing. And on the way to Rwanda, we stopped by Kenya. There's Brother George Zaris and me. We kind of had a little medicine man dance with the Zulu there. And we had about an hour and a half in country. And while we were headed to the safari, we were talking to this taxi cab driver. And right now, if you could see close enough, his eyes are closed. He's getting saved right now. And the guy in the back row didn't have his head bowed and his eyes closed. He was taking a picture. But I was able to lead him to the Lord, and that was an exciting. It was a Sunday morning. We were on a layover there, and it was great to be able to have something like that happen at the start of the trip. And that is Kigali, Rwanda. That's the capital city of Rwanda. And our studios are actually located, I don't have my laser pointer, but right here is where the downtown studios are for the radio station Amazing Grace Christian Radio. over a million people there. Eric, again, climbed another homemade tower and was hanging around there doing a great job. He was on the tower. He got sick the day of the tower climb. I mean sick, like a rash sick, like everything you can think of, bad sick, including vomiting and things like that. But he went up the tower anyway, and he was on the tower without a break for 7 hours. And Eric did a great job. And you can see him there to the left. That's when he came down. He was about ready to fall over. And he did a great job, though. I was working in the transmitter building and in the studios getting this thing ready to go. We had 2 trips to Rwanda, and it was indeed a blessing to get everything cared for. There's the finalized studio. The desk you won't recognize, but the desk is made of the containers that we brought everything over in. We took it on purpose, didn't glue it together. We just screwed it. We unscrewed everything, made the countertops, the equipment racks and everything else out of the boxes that we shipped all the equipment in. I threw a couple pieces of Formica on. We just bought some glue and we got there and put it all together. And that turned out really nice. And there's Brother Greg Schuf, and one of his helpers, they're teaching an English class on the air. And tons of people are tuning in because they want to know English better. And he's teaching them English, and then he gives them the gospel at the same time, of course. And we did a bunch of training with all the nationals, and we're seeing great things happen on Amazing Grace Christian Radio. We came back and went over to Coastline Baptist Church in Oceanside, California, where Pastor Stephen Chappell is the senior pastor. And we got there and ran some conduit and actually went and did some other things in Maryland and then came back. And that's what it looks like finished up. We did all the speakers there, two 58-inch plasmas, and this is an overflow room, another tool for the gospel. And I'm telling you, working with guys like Pastor Chappell is a blessing. You work with Pastor Stephen Chappell, you know that the tools you put in there, he's going to use them and maximize them for the propagation of the gospel. And what a blessing it is. You know that people are going to hear the gospel in that room, and what a blessing that is. That was in Oceanside. And then we were Hunt Valley, Maryland for about a month this year, helping Pastor David Bottrell. And we did lots of the construction aspect of building equipment boxes and running the wire and things like that. And that's how it finished up. Very nice. They did a complete overhaul of the church main sanctuary, the parking lot, every church sign, all of that in like 4 weeks, 5 weeks. And we were able to put two 65-inch plasmas up front, a whole complete sound system, everything for that church. And what a blessing it was for them. You know, if they were to have a contractor come in, he would have charged them over $100,000 to do this. And what a blessing it was. His face lit up when we said, listen, you just, you know, help us out with some expenses, and we'll help you any way we can. And he was delighted. And again, another great church preaching the gospel in Maryland. There's a sound system finished up in the sound booth upstairs. And then we went back to Cornerstone Baptist Church. That's where we were earlier the year before. And this is in Findlay, Ohio. And we helped do an overflow earlier this year. This is in a small classroom. Did all the wiring for this in Findlay, Ohio. Amarillo, Texas, we were there with Pastor Chadwick at the Central Baptist Church. And it was a blessing to be able to do install some things in his sound system and help tweak it. And he was just so thankful that we came, and was blessed by Independent Baptist Media. Eric and I both worked on that job. And then we were with Faith 1180. That's Gail Russ from Faith Music Missions. And we helped complete an order for a brand new on-air board, a mic processor, and some things like that. Then we helped out in his radio station Share-a-thon earlier this year. And not too long ago, I was in Paris, Texas. And yes, they do have an Eiffel Tower in Paris, Texas, and has a cowboy hat on top. I'm not lying. It's the truth. And, very interesting little town in Paris, Texas, with Pastor Brandon Teague, and we were able to help with his video system. And he just called me the other day, wants us to come back down and spend another week doing some training for him and his video remote control cameras and video recording and things like that. Then we were in Lawrence, Kansas, and they were doing some instructing and gathering some recruits for the media ministry there with Pastor Scott Hanks. Brother Eric helped me on that one, and that is not, I didn't jump in the swimming pool and start working. I was sweating. Thank you very much. But we had a fruitful time. The Lord really opened up a great time for us to work at this church. All the audio, or all of the HVAC was in, all the electric was in, all the plumbing was in, and they hadn't drywalled yet, and they called us, and it just worked out perfect. We were able to get in there. There was hardly anybody else working, and we ran over a third of a mile of conduit. And there you can see some of it coming down into an area that's going to be going into a media booth and a remote media booth. It was a blessing to get that project done. And then recently while I was home, we helped remodel our on-air studio at WHVT. That's the flagship radio station for our home church in Clyde, Ohio. And Eric helped on that as well. And we put everything new drywall, new floor. We built new desks and reinstalled everything. And there you can kind of see it finished up with the new desk and the center configuration. And there's Jerry Schoenfeld. He's a fellow we trained. He's a retiree. He's on the air every single night for 2 hours a night, and people love him. And he prays with him, and he witnesses every single night. He's had people saved. Truck drivers call in. People email him. And he's found a ministry rather than an excuse in his later years. And Jerry could find an excuse. Jerry's not here tonight, and he's not able to listen, so I'm able to talk about Jerry. But Jerry's an encouragement, and a lot of people say, oh, Jerry couldn't do anything like that. And I just need to tell you that if you've got a burden to do something, there's something that you can do for the Lord. Jerry doesn't read very well, but he's on the air every night. And he has forced himself, and he's reading better all the time. He's seen people saved. Jerry's had been through a lot of things in his life. His first wife committed suicide. But Jerry has been faithful to church and to the house of God, and Jerry's doing something for the Lord. And I find Jerry an encouragement every single time I meet him. He always preaches the gospel, and what a blessing that is. And that was in Clyde, Ohio. In Toledo, we helped with the Hope Baptist Church and with their video setup. They're doing remote video switching and getting their video on the internet very soon. We did the countertop there and helped run a bunch of wire there in Toledo. And then we started our westward trek, and there's the family after a couple long days in the car. And here I am about to fall in Sedona. But I regained my balance, and everything turned out okay. But if you want to know how sometimes the kids feel on the road, that just before that, Lacey said, "I want to go home." But Lacey, she's cheered up a little bit since then, so we thank the Lord for that. But we want to tell you tonight, thank you so very much. We've been able to go all these different places, and we've been able not only just to do this in the last 2 years, but we've been able to plan for the next 2 years. And the opportunities for the gospel are great. And consider just this one project this year, Rwanda. That has a potential listening audience of between 10 and 16 million people. I can't even conceive of those numbers in my mind. But I'm telling you, people are hearing the gospel, people are being saved, people are being added to the church because of your investment in the Sharp family and Independent Baptist Media. And from our heart, we say to you, thank you, and we love you very much. Thank you. Okay. Now, let's turn to our Bibles this evening, to Luke chapter 10. I know it has been a long week, but take heart. Be encouraged. You know, I told you the other night I went to, you know, the college where the fighting fundamentalists. I hope somebody downloads this. Yeah. For the fighting fundamentalists, you know. And they had a revival not like 2 years ago. 29 days straight. I'm like, holy cow. I'm glad I graduated already. But, you know, we're glad that you've been faithful. And what encouragement it is. And moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, it's a great testimony when every single time when you get the car keys, get in the car and say, we're going to the house of God. It's a great example to your children, to your grandchildren. It's a great example to your neighbors. It's kind of like you made an official declaration every time you get in the car. I still believe. I'm still faithful. God is still real. And thank you so much for your faithfulness. And it's not only a testimony to those around you. It's not only for your betterment. But guess what? You know, we're a body here. And sometimes one part of the body needs what the other part of the body can do for it in ministry. And not only are you going to be ministered to when you come to the house of God, but you have a ministry opportunity to encourage one another and to help one another at the house of God. And what a privilege and blessing it is to be a part of His church this evening, isn't it? I do have to tell you, I'm still digesting some of the cashew sauerkraut cone Alfredo. And wow, it was good today. I'm thinking I'm going to go to Hungary sometime, though, brother. I didn't go away from here hungry. Did you get some of that hungry stuff, Hungarian? That was good, too. Everything was delicious, though. I got to say, there wasn't one thing I put in my mouth that I wanted to spit out. And that's a blessing. And there have been some times, Pastor and I were talking the other day, there have been some times in Africa, we had the international dinner. Holy cow. I don't think it was a cow, but Luke chapter number 10 this evening. Stand in the honor of the Word of God. Luke chapter number 10. I know you guys are all sleepy because you had the movie and popcorn and all that stuff. And now we're going to look into the Word of God, though, this evening and follow along. And I'll start in verse 1, Luke chapter 10. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before His face into every city and place whither He Himself would come. Therefore said He unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you for this church. Thank you for this Bible that we hold in our hands. Thank you for the opportunity that is before us tonight to open the Word of God. And Lord, it's our prayer and desire. Please, Lord, meet with us in a special way. Please, Lord, speak to our hearts. Lord, we're thirsty for you. We hunger to know you more. We pray that you'd bless us tonight. Pray that you cleanse me, fill me, and use me as your servant, as your messenger tonight. Bless the message to our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight I want to talk about the great harvest. The great harvest. By the way, I think we are sold out of the books completely, but there are some prayer cards and also some bookmarks. Please help yourself to those back there. They make great paper airplanes, target practice. They have a lot of cross, you know, great value. The great harvest. I want to look tonight at something that every single person here tonight, this is a way that every single person in this room tonight can involve themselves in missions. I'm not talking about giving. I'm talking about praying the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers. Brother Sharp, I can't go to the mission field. I can't do this. I can't do that. There's something that everybody can do. No matter your age, no matter your economic status, no matter where you are in life, here's something that all of us tonight can do for the cause of worldwide evangelization. Let's look at a few things tonight in this passage of Scripture. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. And tonight I want to just start off the message by going ahead and letting the cat out of the bag. I am tonight on a recruiting mission. Tonight I am unashamedly, I'm going to tell you at the outset, I'm praying that God would call somebody into the harvest field even tonight, even as a result of this conference, and even from the Freeway Baptist Church. I'm not going to mince words tonight. I want to see God do something in your heart. I want to see God send someone from here to there for the sake of the gospel. It's been far too long. We've kind of sat in the background and said, well, you know, you probably don't want to go to the mission field and maybe you can't go. And we're going to give you an excuse out of the box. I'm not going to give you any excuse tonight. Everybody needs to consider whether or not God wants them to go. Everybody tonight needs to ponder and think about the fact of why not go. Rather than think of, well, why should I? Maybe tonight you should be thinking, why shouldn't I? Why shouldn't I? Let's look at the prayer tonight. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. I think it's unique, this prayer is. It's a prayer for laborers. It's a prayer for laborers. It's not a prayer for results. It's not a prayer for money. It's not a prayer for opportunities, but for laborers. It's a prayer for the will of potential servants to be soft and surrendered. Jesus said, listen, the need is great. Holy cow, look around you and you can see what the need is. I don't want you to pray for results. I don't want you to pray for a big building. What I want you to pray for is for laborers in his harvest. A prayer for laborers. Sometimes we do a lot of praying for missions that isn't this. We do a lot of praying for missions and a lot of prayer letters are filled with a lot of needs. A lot of physical needs. A lot of financial needs. A lot of emotional needs. And those are all important things. We should indeed pray for those things. But sometimes we need to get back to the biblical form of praying for laborers. Because truly that is the greatest need. Everywhere I go, I see the need for laborers. Everywhere I go. I could talk to you about Greg Shoof in Rwanda. That guy that was sitting there behind the microphone with his helper. Brother Shoof's been there for over a term. And he's the only independent Baptist missionary in a town of over 1 million people. He has a church, he has a youth group, and now he has a radio station on 24 hours a day. He's there, he's got six kids, and his wife homeschools, and they're by themselves. Brother Shoof doesn't need money, although he would take it. Brother Shoof needs help. Brother Shoof needs laborers. The harvest field of Kigali, Rwanda needs laborers in the field. I could kind of just jump a couple countries over to the country of Kenya. And I could talk to you about a missionary there named Robert Mickey. And I could show you a building. I could show you a national pastor that's there. But I could show you village after village after village where there's no gospel witness. Brother Mickey needs help. Brother Mickey needs laborers in the harvest field of Kenya. I could go to Uganda and take you to the home of Brother Brian Stensis and his son, Brother Keith Stensis. They're about 2 hours apart from each other. One's in Embarada and one's in Masaka. And these guys are doing a great thing. Brother Keith is doing a great work. He's got an orphanage. He's got a Christian school. He's got a radio station. He's got a Bible institute. He's got a great church, Independent Baptist Church of Masaka, Uganda. Brother Stensis needs help. Brother Stensis, yeah, he could use some money. He could use money for plane tickets. He could use money to pay his fees every year for the radio station. But the man needs help. Everywhere I go, we put radio stations in. We put media equipment in. And somehow, some way, the church will come up with the money. But almost every single time, at the end of the day, they struggle to get enough help to run the equipment. They struggle. Then one person is stuck in the sound room. One person is stuck running the video equipment every single week, out of church, not able to sit with his wife and kids, not able to sit with their family, not able to soak in the Word of God because there's not enough laborers. The need isn't for money. The prayer isn't to suggest that we need a lot of things. What we need is people who are willing to work in His harvest field. People who are willing to work for the Savior. The prayer was motivated by truth, by love, and by observation of a great spiritual need. Look over in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. There we have the companion passage of this passage of Scripture, Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 and following. But when he, the Lord Jesus Christ, saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. The prayer was motivated by the truth and the facts that surrounded him. The harvest was great. And he had compassion on the multitude. He said, why don't you just pray because of that? Why don't you pray that God would send forth laborers into his harvest? A look at the prayer. Secondly, I want you to look for a second at the Lord. A look at the Lord back in Luke chapter number 10. He is Lord of the harvest. I think that's a unique title for our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of the harvest. And you know what? That really takes, again, all the pressure off of us. It's His harvest. And it's His work. And it's His word that we're spreading. So don't worry and look at yourself and say, well, I can't do it. Well, we know you can't do it. It's not your harvest anyways. But He just doesn't need, He needs a laborer. It's not, the pressure really doesn't fall on your shoulders. It's His harvest. It's His timing. It's His word. It's His will. We just need to get involved in His program. And we just need to see people involved in the work of the Lord. But let's look at the Lord tonight and who He is. Luke chapter 9, the previous chapter, in verse 13. Luke chapter 9, and verse 13. But He said unto them, give ye them to eat. And He said, we have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all the people. And Jesus performed that miracle. But I wanted to just point your attention. In the previous chapter, the Savior's concerned about people. He loves people. And He's concerned about even temporal needs of people. These people were hungry. You know, that really wasn't going to affect their eternity, was it? No, but Jesus still cared even for those small and seemingly insignificant needs. The Savior cared. Who is this Lord of the harvest? He's one who cares for us. Look in chapter 9 and verse 50. Chapter 9 and verse 50 tonight. And Jesus saith unto him, forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. He's talking to his disciples came and they said, listen, there are other people trying to do the same thing. There's copycat people trying to do the same thing you're doing, Jesus. And did Jesus fight him? No, he said, let him be. He that's not against me is for me. In other words, Jesus was the type of Savior. Who is this Lord of the harvest? He's one who cares for people's small, insignificant needs. And He's one who doesn't want to cause a bunch of dissension and strife. Jesus was the type of person who wasn't going to go attack another brother because they parked in their parking spot or sat in their pew. You know what I'm saying? He was one that said, listen, there's a greater good here, and let's move forward. Let's not fight. Let's not bicker. Of course, there was times he went head-to-head with the Pharisees, wasn't there? There was times when he did that, but I'm telling you, he wasn't nitpicking. Who is this Lord of the harvest? Look at verse 55 and verse 56. The Bible says, but he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. Basically, the disciples said, you know, Lord, these guys over here, they're just causing problems. Can we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? He's like, what in the world are you talking about? I'm not coming to make charcoal here. I'm coming to save people. I'm not coming to destroy men's lives. I'm coming to save them. This is that Lord of the harvest. He's one who's concerned about your needs. He's one who's not willing to be involved in nitpicking one with another. He's one who's not here to destroy, but to save. Look in verse 59. But he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go and bid them farewell which are at home in my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. He said in verse 59, follow me. Jesus was actively, who is this Lord of the harvest? He was actively inviting individuals to be followers of the Savior. He was one who was concerned about individuals becoming Christians. And shortly right after that, in the next chapter, he said, we need help. We need laborers. He's getting ready to send people out two by two. We need laborers. And I want you to pray the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers. I don't want you to pray that people feel guilty. I don't want you to pray that there's some sort of a burden laid on people that's unnecessary. You just pray that God calls people. A look at the prayer, a look at the Lord. He beckons to His people to get up from the table and toil in His vineyards. The Lord is concerned about souls. You can kind of see that from the passage of Scripture right before Luke chapter 10. He was concerned about people's needs. He was concerned about people's souls. He was concerned about calling people to Himself. The Lord loves people. Sometimes we think that God in heaven is up there with a big stick and saying, oh, you messed up, bonk, and kind of, you know, kind of like the little things that pop up, bonk, and he's kind of waiting. It's like, oh, you sinner, sinner, bonk. And we kind of have this idea sometimes that God is just waiting and savoring the moment that He can take away His blessing, that He can judge us, or that He can do those types of things. I'm telling you, that's not the Savior of the Bible. He is a Savior of grace and of love and of kindness and one of patience and one of mercy. Thank God for that. Who is this Lord of the harvest? He's one who loves you tonight. And He doesn't just love you. He loves the people in Africa. He loves the people in Asia. He loves the people in the islands of the South Pacific. He loves the people across town. He loves the people that aren't here tonight. That's who this Lord of the harvest is. And I would like, thirdly, tonight to look at the harvest. Let's look at the harvest. It says the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. The harvest field is the world. Look in Matthew chapter 13, verse 38. Matthew chapter 13, verse 38. Moving on quickly tonight. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 38. Here the Bible says, the field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. He said in verse 2, the harvest truly is great. The field is the world. The harvest field that he's talking about is the world that we're living in. Every single day when you drive to work, you're driving through the harvest field. Every single day when you take time to see your neighbors, when you go to the family reunions, when you knock doors, when you're out in the world, you are in his harvest field. Now it's commanded for us to take a look at this harvest field. Not just to, you know, drive with your eyes open or things like that. Not just to look at that from that perspective. But to look at the harvest in the sense that Jesus looks at it. It's commanded in John 4, verse 35. Say ye not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look. Lift up your eyes and look on the harvest. He wants us to take our spiritual eyes and look on the harvest because they're white already unto harvest. In other words, when you look around every single day and you see people, do you see a bunch of problems or do you see potential? Do you see a big pain? Oh, here comes that guy at work. Here comes Rodney. Can't stand Rodney. He's such an idiot. He's always cussing and he's always giving me problems. And Rodney's a jerk. Or do you see Rodney through the eyes of Jesus? Rodney's part of the harvest. Rodney needs the Lord. Of course he's going to fight you the whole way you're trying to bring him to Jesus. But Rodney is a part of the harvest. Now you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the guy in front of you that slammed on his brakes in the HOV lane. You may have some things to say about that man. He's part of the harvest. Always, as we look into the world, looking at the harvest. Not seeing people that are problems, but seeing people that have potential. People created in the image of God and people who need the Savior, just like you and I did. Oh, yeah. You and I, we were the Rodneys at one time. You and I were the folks that were irritating and God-hating. You remember those days? Remember those days when you didn't love the Lord? Remember those days when you wouldn't be caught dead in a place like this? Remember those days when you teased all the Bible thumpers? Remember those days? Well, somebody had compassion on us. Thank God for that. Somebody looked at the harvest field of our lives and they gave us the gospel. And we're commanded by the Lord to look on the fields. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already unto harvest. We're commanded to look at the harvest, and we're surrounded by the harvest. Matthew 9:36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad. He said, listen, the harvest truly, in verse 37, is plenteous. It's plenteous. In this passage of Scripture, the harvest is great. You can't help but see the harvest. We're surrounded by the harvest. The harvest isn't just in the Philippines. The harvest isn't just in Korea. The harvest isn't just in China. It's everywhere. Now, we are commanded to look on the harvest. And we are commanded by God's grace then to pray the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers. There's a reason we're commanded. And I believe one of the reasons we're commanded is because we could never do it all by ourselves. You look around and you can get overwhelmed. You see all the lost people in Phoenix? There's a couple lost people in Phoenix. Wouldn't you agree? There's a couple people around that don't know God. Wouldn't you probably give assent to that? That's the truth tonight. There's a bunch of people that you and I could never reach if we had 1,000 lifetimes. But God could send somebody in their life. God could send a laborer into their field to do His work, to plant His seed, to work for His kingdom. A look at the prayer. It's a prayer for laborers. A look at the Lord. What a gracious, kind, and loving Lord. And a look at the harvest. It's plenteous. It's abundant. We're commanded. It's surrounded. And lastly tonight, I want us to take a look at ourselves. Let's take a look at ourselves before we wind up Missions Conference 2009, before we go and it fades off in the distant past and say, oh yeah, we had that meeting that one year. And Brother Sharp showed us some pictures. That was really nice. And Lacey was crying. And we remember a couple of the highlights here. And I remember, boy, that was a good international luncheon. And we remember some things. Before it becomes a distant memory, let's take one last look at ourselves in light of this passage of Scripture. And I have to ask you tonight, in light of the harvest, how are your priorities? What are your priorities like in light of the harvest? It's abundant. I mean, look at the harvest. It's all around us. What are you doing to help reach the harvest? I'm talking about your priorities as a Christian. How do you spend your money? How do you live your life? What's important to you, Christian? What are your priorities personally? Where the rubber meets the road, when you go to fill out a tithe slip every week, what are your priorities like when you go to think about things of the Lord, when you go to think about your finances? In light of the harvest, how are your priorities? And I need to ask you the simple question, are you actively praying the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into His field? Are you specifically praying that God would send forth laborers into His field? You know, we could go around the globe and just pray country by country that God would send forth laborers into that field. We could talk about Mexico. My father-in-law needs help. He's like 150 years old, and 160, isn't he? No, anyways, Dad's getting up there. But Dad's got three churches he cares for. And my mother-in-law teaches in the Christian school like she's 22 years old, you know, and she's got all these problems with little kids doing lying, cheating, and doing all this stuff. They need help. And they need tons of help. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into Monterey, Mexico. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the Marshall Islands. We put that radio station in the Marshall Islands, and a few years later, that missionary had some things come up, and he left. He left the field. He had a church. He had a Christian school. He had a radio station. All of the parliament members sending their kids to his Christian school. He had a great sphere of influence. And now, who's doing the work of the Lord in the Marshall Islands in the stead of that missionary? Pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers. We're going to Papua New Guinea, Lord willing, this next year. Brad Wells. He needs somebody. He's got a radio station, a Bible institute. He's got seven kids that are homeschooling. He's a busy man. And he's got a great, tremendous ministry. But he's all by himself. His dad's off in the bush, and his brother's coming, and he's going off to help his dad. Brad needs help. I met with him this week. He's kind of overwhelmed. He needs pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers to Papua New Guinea, to the Western Highlands province. And we could go on and on around the world. Everywhere, and this is just places that I've been. I haven't been to every place in the world. And the need is replicated everywhere. It's the same story everywhere. We're here, God is blessing, but man, we could use help. We're here, God is blessing, but boy, we could sure use a hand in the harvest. We could do so much more if I just had some help. People, God's harvest needs laborers around the world. You could go across these United States, and you could look town by town. Towns of 15, 16,000 people, there's no independent Baptist church. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'd send forth laborers to the Pacific Northwest. That he would send forth laborers to the Midwest. How many good independent Baptist churches are you aware of, Pastor, in South Dakota? I mean, I think I've heard of one. I've never been there. The list goes on and on of places that there are great needs. Sedona, Arizona, we drove through the other day, and according to my research on Sedona, there's no independent Baptist church there. Is there one? Yeah. But there's plenty of weirdos, man. I'm telling you what. There's New Age things and, you know, stuff hanging off the trees and people like sitting cross-legged beside the road smoking something, probably like medicinal marijuana. I mean, there was some weirdness out there. There needs to be a church in Sedona, Arizona. I think there's 15 or 17,000 people in Sedona, Arizona that call that home. What about those people? Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers. How many independent Baptist churches in Phoenix? Six? Five? Probably something like that. How many people are in Phoenix? 5 million? 4 or 5 million? If each church ran 1 million when we're meeting the need, that's not going to happen. Phoenix needs churches. This whole area needs churches. This state needs churches. It's up to us to pray the Lord of the harvest that he would help send forth laborers into his harvest. What can I do for missions, Brother Sharp? I can't go and I don't have much money. You can pray. You can pray that God would send forth laborers. Are you active in praying the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers? Are you active in helping in the harvest yourself? Doing what you can do here. Are you active when pastor says, hey, church-wide visitation. When pastor says, hey, we're going to do a blitz on the doors in this neighborhood. Are you there volunteering your time? Are you being called or led to help in a new field of harvest? I think it's interesting that sometimes we can be the answer to our own prayer. And sometimes what we're praying for, it softens our heart towards that. And it's kind of like I think it's the book of James. He says, you see a brother have need and you say, ah, be ye warmed and filled. God bless you. And you've got like a 50 spot right here in your pocket. This guy hasn't eaten. His family's all destitute. He lost his job. You're like, God bless you, man. Can we pray together? Man, we're going to pray together. My wife's out warming up the Bentley, but let's have a word of prayer. You know? And sometimes we can tend to be so spiritual and such a blessing to people that we never take time to practically meet the need ourselves. Well, it's our desire, and I think it's the Lord's desire, that as you pray, your heart will be tenderized. And you say, God, send laborers. God, would you please send laborers into Kenya and into Uganda and into Ghana and into South America, and then the list goes on and on and on, into Sedona. And just maybe, you might feel something in your heart. You might begin to feel a warming in your heart. You might begin to say, you know what? Well, boy, I could probably go up and pass out tracts there. I could probably go and maybe take a missions trip there. And God will begin to work in your heart to be the answer to your own prayer. God send forth laborers. We can't go everywhere, but we can pray the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers. A prayer for the great harvest is something that everyone can do. We are responsible. We will be responsible for this generation and the harvest that exists here. We're not responsible for the harvest of 1812. We couldn't affect that. We can't affect that. We're not in this room responsible if the Lord tarries for the harvest of 2112. We're not responsible for that. We can't really affect that. But we are responsible for the harvest of 2009. We are responsible to get the crops off this year before they go bad. We are responsible to make sure that every corner of the harvest is covered. It's our responsibility. Our church has had some people pass away, and I know this church has too. You know, those people that have passed away, their time to labor in the harvest is over. Thank God for so many people that have done that in the past, have labored in the harvest, and have taken the responsibility to do so seriously. But they've passed the baton to us. Us who are on this side of eternity. Us who are on this side of glory. They can't do it. They can't reach from beyond the grave and try and labor in the harvest field. It's up to us. And the question is, are we doing it? Are we doing the job? I can't help but think that God wants people from this church to be laboring in the harvest on a temporary basis, on a volunteer basis, and yes, on a full-time basis. I can't help but think some of these young people are taking notes copiously this week that maybe God is working in their hearts. I can't help but think that there are some people tonight that are middle-aged. Some people tonight that are retired. Pastor's dad. How old is your daddy? 68 years old. Chomping at the bit to go work. It was Thailand? There's not a whole lot there. I mean, it's not like he's going to go and live in a luxury hotel there, gang. He can't wait to go and try and reach those people for Jesus Christ in his late 60s. What's our excuse? Jerry's on the air. He's 70 plus years old, reaching people for Jesus Christ. He could have an excuse. We really don't have an excuse, gang. We all need to be laboring in the harvest at some level, and we all of us need to be praying the Lord of the harvest in a serious, systematic pattern. God, send forth laborers to these people. Help these people. Help this church. Help that pastor. Help that missionary. Send him help. Missions Conference 2009. There's something everybody can do. We can all give at some level. We can all think about going, but every single one of us, bar none, can pray the Lord of the harvest. I want to challenge you tonight to pray those prayers. I want to challenge you tonight in your prayer time tomorrow morning to pray those words, the Lord of the harvest. God, you're the Lord of the harvest. Would you send forth laborers and get a burden about an area? Get a burden about a people group. Get a burden about a specific geographic location or a missionary that you know needs help. And pray that God would send him help. There's a desperate need, more than ever before. It's a dark world. Gang, the night is coming when no man can work, but right now we can still work. Right now we can still get the job done. Right now we can still say that people are sinners and that there is a great Savior on the airwaves of this world. Let's do it while we can. Let's pray that we can do it as long as we can with as many people as we can, that the Lord of the harvest would be real and active in sending forth laborers. And then maybe, just maybe, I've got a sneaky suspicion that some of us in this room could be the answer to those prayers. Some of us in this room could be the one that says, you know what? Here am I, Lord. Send me. I'll go. I'll be that volunteer. I'll be the one in that corner of the harvest. Send me. Maybe, just maybe. Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for people's attention tonight, Lord. Coming out on a Sunday night, and they could be doing other things, but Lord, they chose to come to the